Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Wonder what Gigi's thinking right now.
She's thinking about my clunky, what was it? I can't remember. Something.
Oh, God.
You can't remember.
Clunky and large and clunky hard drive.
That's what it was. That was it.
Does she think you're RoboCop or something?
What did RoboCop say? He had a catchphrase or something.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I forgot,
it,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, me too, man. You know what that means? It means,
Hey, I'm high. Hell, Depot.
That's right. High at Home Depot.
Nice.
It's from MJ's Mixes and Mischief.
Why did me saying testicles remind you of that song?
It didn't.
Oh.
Damn it, Zed. People are off the air for a reason.
Oh, fair enough.
It was like, I was thinking of several things. Oh, it was because, like, that song has balls.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I tried to find, luckily, I have a local copy of this song. It was made by a guy that I know. His name is MJ. He was in a band called Diesel Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, but like it's obviously short for Diesel Generator, right? It's called High at Home Depot. I tried to find an online, like, you know, place where I could just stream it, play it, you know, that kind of thing, and it's gone. It used to be on, like, Reverb Nation. It used to be on another site. I'm sure it was on MySpace at some point because he's
because
like
all
my
music
age.
Is, in fact, on MySpace.
Well, not all, but a lot. Many of them are, or were, at least.
I'd have to say that getting high at a Home Depot is probably, like, one of the worst ideas you can have.
Oh, no, it's great. Like, one of the best lines in the song is somewhere between, something and plumbing, I fell in love with an orange-vested girl. She showed me four kinds of bandsaws, and now I want to build in her orange-vested world. And I'm like, that's just brilliant.
Yeah, that's sweet and everything, but I'm trying to think of the practical effect of being high in Home Depot.
Have you never been high at Home Depot?
No,
it's
no.
Great. You're right.
That sounds like the most dangerous thing in the world to your bank account.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you're the kind of person that's into building S, then, like,
okay,
you're gonna...
Look, if you smoke weed and then go to the grocery store for snacks, it's the same effect, right?
No, well, yes, it's the same effect, but food is significantly cheaper than building materials.
It's true.
Unless you build stuff to grow your own food.
That's assuming that you're going to follow through with your stoner plans.
Well, you know.
And let me remind you, the song Because I Got High has gained international notoriety for a reason.
Look, just because you get high doesn't mean you can't be productive.
No, I totally agree with that, but
I just like to point out that there's no material on earth that cannot be turned into a bond with the right motivation. And that motivation is motivation.
All right. Before we go on, I need to say thank you to tonight's amplifier. This is Nathan, who is a gold-level amplifier. What does that mean, to be an amplifier and to be a gold-level amplifier? Well, you can go over to amps.freetalklive.com. It's sort of a Patreon-type setup. And you can donate money to help get this radio show that you're listening to onto more radio stations. We're currently on around 200 radio stations. We could be on more, 250, 300, 350.
420.
420, not out of the question. It's all up to you. If you enjoy this show, the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the perspective that we bring of freedom, liberty, prosperity, and that kind of a thing, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. We only ask for $5 a month. That's the silver level. Nathan gives 10. It means he's at the gold level. So thank you, Nathan, for doubling up on that. We appreciate you. Again, visit amps.freetalklive.com and become an amplifier, please. All right. So we began to talk about this article from Newsweek talking about how human evolution might be more bizarre than we once thought, according to a new study. This study sort of implies or possibly even proves that the more competitive Homo sapiens are, that's us homos. We're all a bunch of homos.
You're a bunch of raging homos. Yeah.
If you're listening, you're a homo. We're all homos. but it seems to say that competition breeds evolution is sort of the TLDR so far. Why is our evolutionary tree so weird, the author asks. Well, according to Van Holstein, that's the person in this study, it probably has something to do with our use of technology. Quote, adoption of stone tools or fire or intensive hunting techniques are extremely flexible behaviors, Van Holstein said.
Mm-hmm.
A species that can harness them can quickly carve out new niches and doesn't have to survive vast tracts of time while evolving new body plans. So our ability to create and use technology allows us to evolve faster than the physical form can, because now we can build things to help protect us, right? All that kind of good stuff.
Well, and I cannot overemphasize the flexibility of using fire.
Yes.
I mean, if you think about all of the things that are now building materials, they did not used to be. But we have a very, very intricate way of using fire, yes, and now we can build with those things.
Right.
Well, and this makes me think of the way that libertarian theory kind of intersects with evolutionary biology, yes, which is that, like, property is literally an extension of yourself. It is an extension of your ability to improve as a species. Like you said, it's more than just your physical body. You are literally increasing your ability to do more. You are evolving as a result of how you interact with nature, which, you know, is a part of you.
And the competition part brings us back to currency that we've been talking about in the first, the second and third segment, mostly.
We talk about it all the time.
Well, and this is why we know, another way that we know that the defining characteristic for original property is where your extension of yourself meets nature.
Mm-hmm.
And where it meets nature and nature becomes transformed, the thing that it becomes transformed into is another extension of you.
Right.
One of my favorite stories is of the Native Americans who would find like a sapling, like a tree, and it's maybe it's only 5 feet tall or something. It's not full grown or anything yet. And what they would do is they would pound a stake into the ground and bend the tree in such a way that it would grow with an arced curve in it. And then at the right time, whenever it was the right size for them or the right angle, they would then chop the tree down and turn that into a bow, bow and arrow.
Nice,
right? So like, that is the ultimate, like, sort of, you're like, okay, here's some nature. I'm going to put some labor into this piece of nature to make it grow in such a way that I can make use out of it later on. I'm going to come back in a year, 2 years. I don't know how long they let these things go before they became you know, able to be made into a bow for a bow and arrow, but like this is what they did.
Yep.
Right? And so that's ingenuity in evolution.
Yeah. Right? Well, and it's technology that benefits everyone. Like, the second that the first human found out about fire, like, humanity's destiny just changed, regardless of if you were the one that actually possessed the technology.
Right. Game-changing technology is something that I have missed out on repeatedly in my life.
Well, you won't this time.
Up until cryptocurrency.
Yep.
I was like, oh, I'll be an SOB if I'm going to miss out on this one, because I've seen the curve. I've seen these life-changing technologies. You can go fire. Mm-hmm. You can go wheel. You can go telegraph.
Yeah.
Telephone, television.
Electricity.
Electricity,
yeah.
Right? You know, the internet,
yeah.
Right? These are like life-changing technologies,
yeah.
That are immediately recognizable once they're implemented.
Yeah.
I'd point out glass in a
big
way. Oh, yeah, very
much so. Oh, that's
so
huge. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have had any of this stuff
without
that.
Yeah, you couldn't have had tubes for your original electronics. You wouldn't have had even something to drink out of, right? You know, that
right.
kind of thing. Pressurized sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Storage.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't underestimate
windows,
that food preservation. Yeah.
Right, getting your sunlight even though it's, you know, freezing cold out.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Saving a lot on building materials because you didn't have to have every single square foot be wood or whatever.
Yeah. This article continues, the ability to use technology allowed our ancestors to compete for space and resources across different niches, which is likely what drove their explosive evolution. The superior tool use may have also contributed to the rise of Homo sapiens and the eventual extinction of all other species of Homo. These results show that, although it has been conventionally ignored, competition played an important role in human evolution overall, Van Holstein said. Perhaps most interestingly, in our own genius, it played a role unlike that across any other vertebrate lineage known so far.
Mm.
So this particular scientist's citing of this study says that competition is likely, according to this study, the thing that makes us more human than any other vertebrate on the planet.
And if you look into the big differences of, you know, this versus that species of human, a lot of it really just comes down to how they're going to end up thinking. So, like, okay, well, this one's got, you know, a brain that is structured this way. So, like, this percentage is devoted to the brain, to the neural sequences, or this set of proteins is what they use for those neurological connections, and that ends up in a different way of seeing the world. So, you know, this particular form of hominid will develop this kind of technology because what they're using to observe the world is different.
Yes.
So, like this one will pay attention to, oh, well, when this bird uses this particular kind of root, it actually makes the stone slightly malleable, whereas this other one is just not paying attention to that particular.
Yeah.
So this form of hominid figures out how to turn stones into something that you can mold like clay, and this one doesn't, because they're just seeing the world in a fundamentally different way.
And speaking of seeing, going back to things like sand and glass, right, like lenses, right, like that's huge use case for glass, like telescopes, microscopes, reading glasses, contact lenses, right? All this kind of stuff, man. Our ability to see further or smaller or see more than what is, you know, normally perceptible to the human eye is of huge importance.
Let's not forget our magic rectangles.
Right.
And yeah,
that's glass.
And the way that we ended up with glass that you could see through was, number one, a huge market. It was Venice.
Yep.
And there is nothing quite like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and shout out to one of the better papers written on the subject, Bitcoin is Venice.
Oh, yeah, that's a
really good
one. If you
haven't read or heard that one, a secondary shout out to Bitcoin Audible, because I like to listen to my information.
Nice.
if you haven't heard that one or read it, go read that one. It's amazing. But yeah, because you had this free market where all of this technology and information was spreading from this group and that group and that group and this group, and this one would add this chemical to it, and this one would add this chemical, but not this chemical, and they would, oh, well, that got it a little bit clearer. Oh, well, that one got, oh, it's translucent now. Mm. Oh, well, it's a little bit closer, mm-hmm. until we finally figured out the exact special sauce that we needed for total transparency. And without that, I mean, there's none of the electronics that we have. There's none of the television. There's very simply none of the, like, being able to heat your house and kill infectious bacteria on the cheap by having clear glass.
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt you guys, but we are a live call-in radio program, and
fair
thus
enough.
We're going to go over here. I believe this is David calling. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. Excuse me. Let me get my speakerphone off, please.
All right. Very well. While we're waiting, we will, I don't know, whistle while we work.
Calling from Jackson, Michigan.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Gosh, a bunch of things. Every time I get you on WKHM in southern Michigan, about 30 miles south of Lansing, probably about 70 miles to Dearborn, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But what you mugs do for me is open up my eyes and thoughts of how much is going on.
Well, thank you.
Now, I understand New Hampshire is a pretty cool place.
Mm-hmm. I'm told Michigan ain't so bad.
Not at all. But I'm on the Jackson's on the I-94 corridor.
Mm-hmm.
Runs Detroit, Chicago.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, and I guess I got a couple of questions I want some thoughts on. Like I say, Dearborn is like 70 miles. Death to a honorably discharged United States Marine. You're talking to bugs, and I was a short in the service, but when they chant death to America, now I did live in that area a long time in the shoe business.
Okay.
But so this death to America kind of rhetoric, can I get thoughts on that?
Oh, so what you're talking about is Dearborn, Michigan, which is famous for having a predominantly Muslim and also predominantly Palestinian population. Is that, like, sort of the context here? Is a lot of these, like, anti-Israel, pro-Palestine rallies or whatever?
Yes, and Rashid.
Oh, yeah, Rashida Tlaib, yeah.
US rep.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like one of the worst House members, not just because she's a communist, but also just because she hates Western values and, you know, property rights, and wants to establish a system of Sharia law, basically. Yeah. And that's how she got elected, was because she's in that district where Dearborn is.
Yeah, my first thought is, what do you mean by America? Because, I mean, if by America you mean the corporate fascist empire that is putting the entire planet into a monetary fiefdom, then, yeah, I'm against that, too.
Yeah.
If by America you mean these ideas of individualism and property rights,
right,
well, then that puts us on the opposite side.
Right.
And
well,
there's another definition, too, which is both of the continents, North and South America, right, makes everybody in that geographic area an American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but if you look at what an Islamic communist is trying to do, they're probably trying to get rid of both.
Mm.
Both of those things that you mentioned.
Islamunist.
Nice one.
Two portmanteaus in the same ship.
Nice.
I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'd just say that Michigan Avenue goes directly through Dearborn, Michigan, and I've taken that route a couple three or four many times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'd use 94 parallels it. Look down a side street, and it does look like, like Middle Eastern all the time.
I certainly wouldn't want to live there. I'm the kind of person that very openly identifies as Jewish, and they don't tend to like my kind in their neighborhood, probably. So
sure, and I was just gonna say that there was no real problem for 10 years I lived there. I'm 61 now, but now that all this is coming up here recently, and I don't know you guys, you bugs ages, but gosh darn, I'm a little bit concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm concerned.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna hang up and listen to your thoughts, okay?
Hey, no problem, David. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Thanks
and,
for bringing it up.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah. Thank you for taking it, man.
All right, have a good day. So I get his sentiment. He's concerned about, the changes that are happening, in a neighborhood that he used to live in. And this is something that many people have to come to grips with. I moved to Seattle, Washington in 1996 at the end of the peak of the grunge era, right? Like all the grunge had already happened and they were all just sort of living off that tidal wave that came in as far as musicians go. But Seattle itself was a very different place in 1996 than it was when I left in 2019, right? And that is to say, like, neighborhoods had been bulldozed and, old music venues or dive bars that we used to go play at, like, were replaced with, either some sort of a business or condominiums and that kind of a thing. The character, if you will, of the city had changed dramatically from a place where it was like hippies and punk rockers to a place where, like, oh, it's the new tech hub of the U.S.
I think that what he's describing is a bit more than what would constitute just a normal neighborhood change.
Like, absolutely. I agree with you. But my point is that it happens for many reasons in many different areas. And people resist change. Right. Whether it's good change or bad change, right? People just generally resist change once they become of a certain age. Usually when you get, like, for men, it's usually in your mid-30s, right? A lot of men start taking an interest in things like politics once they hit, 30, 35 in that range, right? They don't really take much interest. There's exceptions to these, of course, but, like, generally speaking, the interests of men grow once they get into their, mature age, right? And so they start paying attention to things that they didn't pay attention to before.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, how did this happen?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that something that's important to note about this conversation, though, is that I personally believe, and this doesn't give me a lot of friends in the libertarian community sometimes, but I personally believe that Islam as an ideology is an existential threat to individualism and a lot of the values that libertarianism holds.
Interesting.
The word Islam, if you directly translate it, means submission. If you
meant peace.
No, it does not mean peace. That's salam.
I'd like to point out that there's a huge difference between being in the world that we want to see and the world that exists, where, like, in the world we want to see, if you have, like, okay, this is the Islamic town.
Right.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Awesome. And anyone who wants to be in the Islamic town, they can be in the Islamic town. You can expect that Sharia law will be there, and I can stay out of there if I don't want to. But when we are forced to be together in a democracy is when things become tense.
I know you guys have more to say. I know our listeners are curious to hear. And if they want to call, they can call 603-283-6160. The final half hour of Free Talk Live still to come. It's the Saturday night 420 edition. Stay tuned.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
USA News Update. Six alternate jurors have been selected for former President Trump's hush money trial, joining the already established panel of 12 jurors. Opening arguments are set to begin on Monday. The U.S. is blocking the United Nations from approving a Palestinian request for full membership status by using its veto in the Security Council.
The draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the Council.
The U.K. and Switzerland abstained from Thursday's vote while the remaining 12 members voted yes. President Biden is mobilizing union workers to support his bid for re-election. Speaking at a conference of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Washington, D.C. Friday, the president highlighted how his bipartisan infrastructure legislation is fostering the creation of new unionized positions, proudly dubbing himself the most pro-union president in American history. John Schaefer, USA News.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our program. The telephone number 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain,
Zeffin,
and Peakless Mountaineer.
Is that like the second time all night we've done
that? Probably the second time all night.
Well, if you listen and you don't even know who we are, come on, man.
Like, wow, man, the host like totally forgot.
You know, the thing.
Or something. It's 420, man. I snorted. It's 420. It's the happening. What was the other thing?
Hey, snorting is the wrong one to do.
What do you mean?
Well, no, this is for smoking, not for snorting.
Oh, I inhaled. and it made a sound.
There you go.
I thought that we didn't inhale in the in honor of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Bill Clinton.
Oh, he didn't. I mean, he did inhale, but he also sucked.
That's true.
So. I don't think he was the one that did the sucking.
Well, he did, but he also received some as well. Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. You guys forking?
He's forking. I wish I could. Yeah.
You're not forking?
No.
No fork for you?
Just pork.
We will fork in your honor.
Well, what constitutes fork? If I come on Sunday, does that count?
Well, see, no one's in charge, so we really don't know.
Well, doesn't fork also technically run concurrently with pork? So I guess I do technically go to
it depends,
fork and pork?
It depends on how you wish to view ForkFest. Since no one's in charge, you can make it whatever you want.
Well, then yes, I'm 100% attending ForkFest.
Some people believe that ForkFest is sort of the, we'll call it the layer two. Over the Porcupine Freedom Festival,
yeah,
right. Where it doesn't matter if you're using the, you know, the layer two, then you are forkfesting, regardless of what time of year. Forkfest could be year round for all we know.
I'm actually using the advanced layer three. I'm already at Sporkfest.
Nice,
sweet.
I am attending 10 days. Seven of them are what are officially known as the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Nice.
The 3 days preceding that are what I am calling ForkFest. And ForkFest.party will probably allude to that without with sort of being noncommittal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whatever you want it to be. You wanna come a week ahead of time? That's ForkFest, man.
Yeah.
You know? There's no one's in charge of it, so there's no organization to charge you a ticket. You just gotta pay your camping or your motel fee.
Nice.
And make of it what you want. You want it to be spectacular? Well, bring and do something spectacular,
yep.
Right? Like, if you're just going to attend, well, then expect a relaxing camping, a few days before it gets really busy.
Yeah, calm before the storm, really.
Yeah.
So, but storm in the best way possible.
Totally.
So, according to the unofficial site, it is 4 days, not three.
Okay.
The 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Again, I just consider every time I go to Rogers to be ForkFest.
Again, I'm going for the 3 days prior and then the 7 days of what is officially called the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Mm. So to me, that's ForkFest, the whole thing. The 10 days that I'm there, I'll be forking around the whole time.
Not to cause too much whiplash here, but I do want to get back to Islam.
I thought you were Jewish.
Fair enough.
I thought no one could go back to Islam.
That's true. No one can. That's actually a big problem with it, is that once you're in it, you can't leave. That's a death sentence right there. We're not just seeing what was talked about last segment with Dearborn. We're also seeing Islamic courts being established in Europe and also in Canada and a lot of other places. So they are doing what I suggest libertarians do to be successful, which is to build parallel institutions that people rely on for themselves. But the difference between our ideology and theirs is we want to use these parallel institutions to free people, whereas, as far as I'm concerned, Islam is a statist system. Like, their goal is to have a government under an Islamic unified international caliphate, very similar to communism, but to have it be a religious state.
Yeah.
So basically what our government is, but being way more explicit about it.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Right, yeah.
In this case, the Islamic Inquisition.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it's just something to stay mindful of. I'm not saying that you should be mean to Muslims. A lot of Muslims don't even know that this is the end goal, like even though their scripture very clearly states what the goal is.
Yeah.
But it is like it is something that you have to keep in mind that this is an inherently imperialist ideology, and it's why it was so successful and has what 1.2, 1.3 billion adherents, something like that.
Yeah. It's interesting that you like a sub point of what you just said. I know many people who subscribe to religions, right? They're like, I'm a this, I'm a that.
Yeah.
You know, I attend this service, or no, that's the day I do the thing, whatever. And, like, many of them have no idea what their ideology is about.
Yep, they
totally. They just go because, like, their parents went, and, oh, yeah, as a kid I had to go to, like, Sunday school or whatever. Right. And, you
but
know.
You still see that donation plate being passed around when they're there. And you know, like, that money sometimes goes to fund some evil S.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes. Sure yeah.
It sure does.
So, just something to keep in mind. Like, my worry is that people are going to treat all ideologies the same, because that's what the West tends to do, of like, oh, you know, we're just a hodgepodge of different, like, cultures and identities, and, like, you know, we're a melting pot. And it's like, yes, in a lot of ways that's true, and yes, in a lot of ways there are benefits to that, but there are also ideologies that would seek to exploit that.
Yeah, I can't... Yeah,
and it's 1.9 billion,
oh,
by the way.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, well, that's a quarter of the planet.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, too, is that the West is not really pro-natalist anymore. So if we get, oh, and I remember last time, people might not know what that means, the pro having babies, basically. And if this is something that the West keeps doing, they're going to import people that don't share their values, which is what's happening in Europe. And once they're here, they have babies more than the people that believe in individualism and property rights do. And then Bob's your uncle, like, you don't have liberty anymore. And it's not even from the government taking over, it's just a pure babies game. Tyranny can happen with bullets or with babies, you know, well, as Kahana said.
So, I'm actually completely in favor of them having their own courts. I just want the same right.
True. Yeah. But, I mean, it just like the government system, it's not a system that wants to coexist with you, it's a system that wants to dominate you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That is government in a nutshell, a system that wants to dominate you.
Yeah.
And like people will try to get involved with it with what I'm going to call noble intent. They falsely believe that, you know, oh, if I become a, you know, a cop, or, you know, I don't know, some board of directors of the Parks Department or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. They think they're doing some good for their community.
Yeah.
You know, for their, you know, their families or friends, you know, the part of town that they live in, all that kind of stuff. When in fact they are dominating their fellow man with the use of force. And that, I think, is, you know, I don't want to speak for all three of us, but I think we agree that that is what the state is. Yep. It is the use of force. It is dominating you to get you to conform to their will, not yours.
Yeah.
Theirs.
Yeah. And the thing that makes it unique is that no one pushes back against that. Any other organization, if they start using violence and threats of violence, everyone knows that that's wrong, and to some degree or another, everyone will at least withdraw resources from the person being antisocial. Whereas with the organization type known as government, that is what is expected. And if you find out that they are no longer using violence and threats of violence to get their way, is when you think something has gone wrong with government.
No, that's when I think something's wrong. Oh, you're no longer going to use force and the threats of violence to make me pay tax?
What did you do, defund the police?
These are good things, in my opinion, in the evolution of humanity. There are some people, of course, who would like to see a revolution, you know, a clash. And depending on how you look at it, like, an argument can be made for anyone who does something violent in retaliation is acting in self-defense.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, because the government has been dominating you since you were born.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you do act out violently in retaliation, that an argument can be made for that being self-defense. Now, you know,
But some forms of self-defense are more effective than others.
Right. Just because it's not evil doesn't mean it's not stupid.
Yeah.
Well, what
so
about...
if you... So...
It's like fight or flight.
Yeah. I have no intention of overthrowing the U.S. federal government.
Right.
I have every intention of underthrowing them.
Yeah.
I'm going to undermine them completely. I'm going to go around them. I'm going to make them obsolete.
My technology is going to eat them alive.
Right. I want human beings to evolve past the idea of slavery.
Yeah, we're not putting the police to death. We're hiring them. That's the plan. We get rich, and then we hire them with the explicit instructions of following the non-aggression principle.
Yep. So you mentioned sometimes people do stupid things.
Yeah.
As sort of a message or a way of retaliating. Did you guys hear about this from, I think, Yahoo News? Man who set himself on fire outside Trump's trial reveals shocking motive in his political manifesto.
First I've heard of it.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it.
The last time I heard of someone setting themselves on fire, it was over the Gaza-Israel conflict.
Mm. There was a guy in Keene who set himself on fire.
Recently?
No. Some years ago, maybe. It might be like 10 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
But outside of the courthouse downtown Keene because... something. The state did something. I can't remember the exact details. I wasn't here for it when it happened, but you can go find it. There used to be a burn mark on the sidewalk outside of the county clerk's building. They're in the town circle, also known as the square, even though it's a circle.
Yeah.
What government does.
Yeah.
A man set himself on fire.
We'll call something a square when it's really a circle.
That's what government does.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I noticed that. They're like, yeah, we're going to have a thing in the Keene Town Square. And I'm like, where's that? They're like, oh, you know where the big circle is? I'm like, yeah, that's the square. And I'm like, no, it isn't. That's the town circle.
How are you going to square that circle?
Anyway, a man set himself on fire outside of the Manhattan courthouse where former President Donald Trump's trial took place. This says today. This is from the 19th, so yesterday. Citing political motives in a manifesto, the individual identified as Max Azzarello is alive but critically injured. I read earlier today that he did die after setting himself on fire.
Setting yourself on fire isn't generally something you should expect to recover from.
Right, and like... this guy had a message, and if you read his manifesto, it says a lot of things that, like we say, he's got a... I don't know. I'm not saying he's a libertarian. He probably was not. He was probably more of a conservative Republican type. But there are some things in his manifesto that really ring true.
Yeah.
Police witnessed him douse himself with liquid before igniting. Responders at the scene helped extinguish the fire. Azzarello's pamphlets and social media posts hint at conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories.
Oh. So what you're saying is he was right out the get-go.
That's what they're saying.
Oh.
Yeah. But officials don't believe he targeted anyone specific. According to reports, the recently emerged manifesto attributed to the man who set himself on fire outside the Lower Manhattan Courthouse was purely driven by political motives. He allegedly maintains a Substack page titled The Ponzi Papers, with his latest entry titled, I Have Set Myself on Fire Outside the Trump Trial. So, like, he's telling people what he has done or is about to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the opening lines, Azzarello declares his extreme act as a means to spotlight a pressing revelation, writing, my name is Max Azzarello, and I am an investigative researcher who has set himself on fire outside the Trump trial. This extreme act of protest is to draw attention to an urgent and important discovery. We are victims of a totalitarian con, and our government, along with many of their allies, is about to hit us with an apocalyptic fascist world coup. The manifesto includes references to a complex conspiracy involving cryptocurrencies and government collusion, echoing themes from Azzarello's recent social media activity. I hope you know how powerful you are. I wish you a hell of a lot more than luck, he concluded in his lengthy manifesto.
Does it say specifically what he said about crypto?
Yeah, 'cause I can tell you what they are doing. I mean, the central bank digital currency is being combined with vaccine passports.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else are they throwing into that thing?
Climate stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah. like, there is absolutely a control grid that is being put upon humanity now, and we do have the option to leave if we do it quick enough.
Yep. He said, I haven't read through his manifesto.
You do control F for crypto if you...
Yeah, cryptocurrency is our first planetary multi-trillion-dollar Ponzi scheme, he says.
Mm.
It was expressly created for the purpose by a laundry list of rich and powerful people.
Well, he really doesn't
Stanford
know about
Silicon. Right, yeah. So that's, like, one of the things I don't agree with him on, right? Like, the CBDC, now, that is an evil digital currency that is the government's answer to cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm. Which
that
will, funnily enough, like, funnel people into the good money, because that's the biggest hurdle is, you know, learning the technology. But once you realize it's as simple as, oh, well, the government has a blockchain technology app on my phone, and I can just get a non-government blockchain technology app on my phone.
Some of the other things he says were the March 2023 bank failures were all intentional. The banks were used to move stolen Ponzi money. This signals that they're no longer dumping cash in to keep the government afloat, and that it will soon go insolvent.
But it's already insolvent.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When the Ponzi
scheme
goes insolvent, it will take down half the stock market with it. Okay.
Yep.
At least.
Yeah. The stock market crash that is ahead of us is like nothing we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we basically have all of the pieces set up for every single financial crash that America's been through at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The 2008 one, the one in the 70s, the Great Depression,
right.
All at once.
He does continuously reference cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. For example, with this one, the Ponzi scheme goes insolvent, it'll take down half the stock market with it. The perpetrators used their major companies to pipe into the blockchain so they could funnel money out from the crypto exchanges. This includes Google, Tesla, Apple, PayPal, Facebook, Disney, Walmart, Target, InBev, Zoom, and countless others. I disagree.
What's he trying to say?
First of all, if he were alive, we could ask him.
Yeah.
We could tell him to call.
It's probably in that blog. I'd also just like to quickly point out that they will also put on top of this system your access to the Internet.
Mm.
Well, first of all, if Google, Tesla, Apple, PayPal, Facebook, Disney, Walmart, Target, InBev, Zoom, and countless others were all into Bitcoin, the price of Bitcoin would be way more than $64,000
that
it is right now. He goes on to say it's a Ponzi scheme so large that it created global inflation. Again, obviously, he knows nothing about economics and the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
He says, which is why the price of Bitcoin has been a remarkable leading indicator for inflation rates.
It's the sound money's fault that we just get endless money printing.
Oh, man.
Well, to steel man the argument, there is one particular case that's true. And it's because Tether, USDT, is backed in treasuries. And because of that, it has increased the demand for treasuries when all of the other countries are getting rid of theirs. So that's my best argument in favor of what he's saying.
Victims who bought crypto don't realize their money has already been stolen.
That's why we bought crypto.
It's the only money that can be stolen.
Yeah. So when I got my paycheck of the fake money that we're all forced to use, and was able to put some of it, you know, dollar cost averaging, put a little bit of it every time you get a paycheck into some cryptocurrency, I have been able to not only retain what I earned, but it's also become worth more in the process.
Wait, are you saying that your crypto can't be confiscated? Why is that, Captain?
I'm not saying that it can't be, but I would have to give up the private keys.
Ah, okay.
But is that even being confiscated at that point?
What is confiscation?
Yeah,
right? By definition,
yeah.
Right? Like, somebody would have to torture me so badly that I was like, fine, here's the keys, man, you know? or I would die, and then nobody would win.
Well, no, not nobody. Maybe nobody, but no, the people that own Bitcoin would win.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fun part, is that even if you torture me to death trying to get my seed phrase, and I refuse to give it to you, not only are you not any richer, everyone who has any Bitcoin is.
The more I read of this, the more I feel like this guy was just sort of scratching the surface, and the first, like, thought that he had was that, oh my gosh, it's all the, like, the corporations, right, that are, like, using it. It's like, well, you're almost there, bro, but what they are doing, of course, is pointing out that money laundering does occur by large entities like governments, for example, using cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I mean, and they do use that as a tool, but what's the tool that they use way more?
The U.S. dollar.
Correct.
Yeah, by far.
Like orders of magnitude.
Right.
Yeah. Like you want to talk about a Ponzi scheme.
In fact, if you want to launder money and all of this stuff using cryptocurrency, you're way more likely to be punished for it vis-a-vis Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, there's a very, like, even from the ordinary perspective where war is a good thing, the percentage of the U.S. dollar that is in nefarious hands is way higher than the percentage of cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, to better understand our form of government, I will point out to you one of the most astonishing pieces of standalone evidence I've found. Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton's 1988 DNC speech. Telling that we mentioned him.
Yeah, right.
where he nominated Mike Dukakis for president against George H.W. Bush. The speech is a vile, mean-spirited roast of Dukakis's that makes no sense whatsoever. For Clinton to ruthlessly attack a member of his own party should have been political suicide and repeatedly mocks Dukakis' noble and earnest qualities. Notably, actor Rob Lowe, who was supporting Dukakis, was a victim of a teen sex blackmail operation at the DNC that year. Since we know Clinton is a close associate with teen sex blackmail artist Jeffrey Epstein, we can suddenly make a perfect sense of the nonsensical speech by applying this lens. Bill Clinton is a cocky mob boss who blackmailed Mike Dukakis because Dukakis thought his job was to help the public. So this guy's obviously partisan. Right, you know, he's
yeah, and let's be honest, guys. Bill Clinton's middle management on this thing. Like, the fact that I know his name is how I can tell you he's not at the top.
Yeah. And that's just what the blackmail that they engage in with each other. It's all sex acts with children. Like that's how they blackmail each other.
It's not the only thing.
It's a pretty good bargaining tool that they have that they use very commonly.
Yeah,
this is where Jeffrey Epstein got a lot of his money.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not the only network of blackmail. Anything that you can find that is just universally abhorrent, you know, pedophilia, cannibalism, I'm not allowed to say that on the air. But yeah, anything that is just absolutely abhorrent.
Even information of care, I think, is blackmail, like, information. But by the way, if people on air don't know what that is, definitely look it up and look up Alex Jones's expose of it. It's really good.
I wanted to mention, you guys know that Bill Clinton was musical. He owned and played a saxophone. And during, like, towards the end of his term as president, that saxophone disappeared. And so a hunt went on, and they could never find it. But it's okay. He still had his harmonica. And we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's been Free Talk Live. If you missed any part of our show, please find the archives over at freetalklive.com under the resources tab. Thank you, Peakless. Thank you, Zeppin.
Blazin Stacksets.
Thank you to all of our callers, and of course, you, our listeners. We appreciate you. freetalklive.com.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.